Hi everyone, Jack Black here again with one of these occasional podcasts we do, and I've been really looking forward to this one because for all sorts of reasons, very, very busy summer, I've been unable to really hook up with Rob for this particular podcast. I'm really looking forward to all sorts of levels, not only because he came out of the blue into the course in the sense that, you know, he's been a good Mindstorm member over the years, and suddenly he was there, and not necessarily in England, where he hails from, but in fact in Dublin. So I was quite inspired when anybody comes back and repeats, but I was particularly inspired when he showed up. And then since then, Rob's had quite a lot of success with quite a lot of things, and I'm looking forward to sharing it. I, unfortunately, been so busy with the coaching thing and, you know, still doing all this stuff with corporates, I just couldn't get to till now. So, but I'm sure you'll all really enjoy this one. So, Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jack. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about where we might end up today.
So am I, because some of our conversation we've had in the past has gone from the sublime to the ridiculous. So
yes,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, most folks who do Mindstorm know there's quite a bit ridiculous thing happens. It's not obviously mainstream. But anyway, Rob, what we tend to do with this is we start off by having folks share their, for want of a better term, their Mindstorm credentials. Do you want to say something to the listener about, you know, how, you know, when you get involved, first of all, what you've done with us and so on?
Sure. Well, I discovered the Mindstorm program. It was a bit of synchronicity, actually. It must have been sort of the early 2001. I was in a sales job, and I'm not a pushy type to sales, but I was led to this certain sales job for money because we just got married and our first baby was on the way, who's now 16, going on 17 next month. And this sales job was quite high pressure. It was selling advertising for a well-known publication. And I got into a spell where I just couldn't cope with the pressure. And long story short, I was just about in an office stationer's, of all places, in Chester. I live in North Wales, I'm Welsh, but Chester's just over the border here.
Yep.
And I was just getting some pens or ink or something like that. And there was a book section. And I was just looking through, you know, Windows for Dummies and things like that. And then a book fell off the rail. Ironically, it was your book with you, a very young Jack Black, on the front. And it was the Mindstorm book. So I thought, oh, I read this. And I'd just sort of come out of being off sick with this job, really, because the doctor had signed me off with clinical depression. So I was off for 6 months taking pills and things like that. And the book, because I obviously didn't know, I thought it was an American type Tony Robbins thing.
Yep.
But when I realized your background, when I just looked at the back of the book and the first couple of pages, I realized, oh, it's not the sort of the hoo ha, yee ha type of thing, or on the other side of the scale, a tree hugging type of organic mindfulness. And I read that. And within 2 weeks of me reading it, I quit my job, and I my educational background is in tourism and marketing. And again, if by chance my brother's in the same industry, and he said, "This is job going for Irish Ferries. Do you want to give it a go? Somebody's just left that I deal with." And I said, "Yeah." So within that 2 weeks, I'd given up my high pressure job. Gone into a job at the time that I loved because I studied tourism, and I spent a great 2-3 years with Irish Ferries. But in the meantime, from the book references that you gave at the back of the book, I'd never read so much in my life. And I must give credit to my wife Sian, who got me into reading again. Again, it was sort of just before, it was whilst I was working for that company that I was depressed in. And she gave me a book, and of all things, it was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yes.
And that that just got me hooked on reading again, because I used to think books are just for school and education, which I talking to other friends and other people, a lot of people are still in that predicament. Even the young people that work for us still have got that persona of a book is for educational. Now, when I started sort of churning out every book that you recommended, from The Celestine Prophecy to Think and Grow Rich to Dale Carnegie, all those types of people, it just took over my life. And for 3, 4, 5 years, I just obviously went into alpha state, things like that. I had the pleasure of coming to the Barbican at my first Mind Store course. And then I've been various ones over the years. And I suppose you probably find it, Jack, after sometimes life does happen and you just sort of put things on a back burner. And up until sort of 2010, I wasn't really doing it. And then we had a few deaths of mums and dads in the family in a very short time. And I was, you know, I was quite healthy at the time as well. 2009, 2010, I was doing regular 10Ks for cancer research. And it was our 10th wedding anniversary in 2009. So we did 10Ks, we did 10 things, that type of thing. Raised a lot of money. Then 2010 hits, and Sian's dad suddenly died. And within a month, my mum died. And then everything just went on the back burner. It wasn't a depressing time, but it was like, we've got to keep your eye on the other halves of the family and the kids and things like that. So obviously I started putting on more weight, you know, because I've always been a big fella ever since college, that type of thing. But I picked up Mind Store again. Well, a little bit before that, there was a Mind Store group in the Northwest. And we regularly met up in Knutsford. And again, I lost a little bit of heart in that, because some of the members were, rather than embracing the ethos of Mind Store, they were, I don't know, they were treating it as a networking meeting, which you could have done afterwards, but it was more of a sell this, that, and the other. And which I must admit, myself and one of the other good members, David, he took on board. And I think we sort of, we chatted a few years afterwards and realized our errors of our ways, you know. So, but and then come my 50th birthday was in December last year. And my wife, Sian, you know, said, are you still, like, you know, I know you're still reading, Rob, are you? She was, are you just doing Mind Store and things like that? I say I dip in and out, that sort of thing. And little did I know, she'd booked me on the Dublin course. And and that was sort of, oh, wow, because we're doing one thing a month over my year 50. Every month we're doing something. So we've got things planned. And that was one of them. I'll come into sort of what happened in February, March, a little bit later. So that's my Mind Store journey. And again, I'm still picking up. In fact, what Mind Store member David Linton posted a picture of the Jose Silva book. What did I do? I went straight out and bought it the other week. And I'm tending to on my nightstand. Because, you know, I've embraced, there's no technology after 8 o'clock in the house, even for the kids. Just to say, it's basically family time and to watch a bit of TV and talk. But I've usually got 4 books on my nightstand. It's usually a fiction, an inspirational, a diet type book, and another, which could be funny things or whatever. So that's where I am at the moment.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the Silver book. I mean, the Silver book was the book that fell off the shelf for me all those years ago, way back when I had collapse in the hairdressers. And I worked for them for a while. I was the guy in Scotland for them and got very close to Jose when he came to London, and he took me aside and told me I had to leave. It was quite, I was shocked, you know. It was like...
Okay.
But the reason why he said to me, because it was you know, without blowing my trumpet. He said, look, you're special and I think you need to do this your own way. Yeah. And so I agreed that I would go and come up with something, and I did. And then I got copyright attorneys in the biggest ones in Scotland to send his company what I'd come up with to check he was okay with it, because I wouldn't want him to do anything that he wasn't happy with, because I really loved the guy. Yeah. And he gave me the go-ahead, and there we are all these years later. So, yeah, great book, good stuff. And so when you turned up at Dublin, you were coming to Whispers with Giants. It wasn't the old House of the Red Roof that you'd have been used to when you were coming to the Barbican and stuff like that way back.
That's right. And I was used to visualising things like that. And then with, I know some of the regulars in Dublin had used a fourth screen, and I was thinking, how do I do a fourth screen when I've been just looking at a middle one and one behind and one, you know, that type of thing. And so that sort of brought a new dimension into it as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's good when, I mean, I've always, after I stopped teaching the House of the Red Roof as a kind of fixed course, it gave me the opportunity to do what we used to call the Best of Mindstore and other iterations. Yeah. And it allowed me to continually add new things, because I was very much aware of people like yourself coming back. Yeah, you would want to catch up with the old stuff, but I think it was important to give you new stuff and stretch the audience.
Yes,
and
definitely.
And I did that for quite a long time. And but for some people like yourself who hadn't been back for a fair old time, the fourth screen, or in the island, the fourth ship, it was a new concept. But nevertheless, one of the more powerful aspects and unique to us, that if we're going to program for something, then we're also thinking of the outcomes that will affect other people too.
Sure.
So not only do we succeed, but they succeed. So that's good you mentioned that.
And again, with the line in the sand, it's the four windows now. So yes, which I'm sort of embracing at the moment as well.
So you've done the line in the sand on the app then, is that what you're talking
about?
It
is, yeah. I'm on, I haven't done it a full 30 days.
No.
I think I'm on day 19 at the moment.
Good for you.
And that's where I'm. I can, you know, highly recommend that for somebody who's, I'm a bit of a technobod as well. So it's just easy and to use that way.
I'm glad you said that too, because I think some people look at it and think, okay, where am I going to find 30 days? Well, it was never intended to be done over 30 days. Because who would be able to do that? But what is required is at least 24 hours between each session, so you process it. And so some people, it can take them a year. You know, other people might do it in just over a month, I suppose. But so it's okay to stop and start with it. Are you enjoying it? Is it helping you?
It is, definitely, yeah. It's it sort of gets me... It doesn't force me to say, right, I must do this every day, but it just takes me away, and it's a bit like the anybody who's on the Whispers course. It's bringing back, again, back to Mindstore original and Think and Grow Rich, creating that mastermind of influential people.
Yeah.
And the way that we can relate it to colour, because I'm very, very visual, because... Yeah. Again, 2009, 2010, we started our own business, which all happened at once, that type of thing.
Yeah.
A little bit out of a necessity, but it's obviously just grown into a mad business. So we're actually working from offices now rather than in a converted garage at home, so which is a pleasant
Fantastic.
Surprise.
Good for you. Well done. And so when you came to Whispers, of course, that was a slightly different thing again, but nevertheless, focusing on the notion of the mastermind group, yeah?
Sure, yeah. And I must admit, I've got my book just by here. The Whispers mastermind is totally different now, because I've changed it to my line in the sand retreatees.
Yes.
But on a similar vein on how I identify. There's one or two, like Bill Clinton and Michelle Obama, that are still on my committee, if we want to call it that.
Yeah.
And but a few others that think, oh, they've inspired me.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, for me, the biggest secret of all is that in a dialogue at the alpha level, and you know, we're, and I've always been committed to coming at it from different angles so people get different iterations of it that eventually get it, you know. So combining bits and pieces from different courses is perfectly acceptable and indeed what most people are doing. So there's no... there's method in the madness, because it's very important for me to reinforce the concepts of that so that people begin to trust that inner dialogue, because ultimately that's what Carnegie felt was the ultimate secret, was that those inner conversations. And obviously Napoleon, you know, took that further, which is what it's all about. And maybe I've taken a wee bit further again, so that's what it's about.
Exactly, and we'll come into that in a minute. But yep. You just mentioned Andrew Carnegie.
Yep.
And again, I don't try to push it on our guys in the office, but I sort of preempt different things. So we'll have creative meetings, because we're a design agency, and we'll say, who would we love to work with? And one of them came up was, there's a local literary festival just local to here, which is run by the William Gladstone Library.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, we'd love to work with them. And then by chance, I was in working with the local Chamber of Commerce, and who comes in was the main person that runs the Gladstone Library. And now we help market their Gladfest, which is a literary festival.
Yeah.
But we were just I did a bit of research about Gladstone, and it was Andrew Carnegie to say he was the most greatest statesman that ever lived.
That's right.
And they've just gone over to pitch to get a William Gladstone exhibition on the road doing. And where do they do it? Carnegie Hall, New York. So these things just come round all the time. So yeah.
Fantastic. So moving on to Post Whispers, you know, you obviously we engaged there in a number of ways. You and I had a good conversation during that, and one thing in particular had a big impact, I know, but we'll leave that for a moment.
Okay.
I mean, when you left Whispers and you were back into it, I suppose, at least for a while, and now you're doing the Line in the Sand on the app.
Yeah.
Anything you noticed was improving, or did it inspire you in any particular way?
What it was, again, with the, we'll talk about the health thing, but yeah, my sort of vitality and enthusiasm for everything and taking the bull by the horns all the time. You know, when everybody has it, when, oh no, you don't want to pick up the phone from so-and-so, or you're chasing an invoice or that sort of thing, you know, the normal day-to-day things.
Yeah.
And I do the eat the frog thing now, you know, just get on and do it, and everything's going to be fine after it.
Yeah.
And I've had enough sort of deaths in the family, and we always say, well, nobody's died, you know, nothing could be that bad. There's going to be challenges in your life which you'll have to stop. But what it's done is made me more a relaxed person. I think the guys in the office can see that as well. And another little minor changes. Although I love the team ethos, I've found that moving into a separate office myself and just being next door just to wander about, I can now come in and then shut the door. I can go into Alpha for 10 minutes thinking about the next meeting, or, you know, how am I going to write this press release, or how am I going to pitch a product to a client, that type of thing.
Yep.
That's how it's been really working for me since March.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, the thing, you know, people like you and I and everybody else listening who is a mind store person, whatever course they did, we have an awareness of, we can keep it simple, like tools and techniques or some of the more advanced things. Mm-hmm. We have an awareness that people who have never done this type of thing just don't have. And it's that ability to say, okay, I need to find a solution to something. I need to be a bit creative. I need a better way of maybe tackling something. And lo and behold, you close a door, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in Alpha, and a much better thought process takes place. and outcomes a better solution or action. And it's wonderful. Does.
And even if it's right, and we're going out with friends that we haven't seen for 10 years, and, you know, is it going to be difficult? I've already played the awkwardness out in my head before I actually go, or even I'm going to have an argument with somebody, and I'm not an argumentative type of guy anyway. But I usually play it out of my head, and it's all sorted, so I'm fine with them, you know. So it's sort of letting go a lot, you know, which is a bit of a epiphany sometimes.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, things have definitely improved over there. I mean, you first got in touch with us around about 2001, was it? You said 2002.
It was 2001. Yeah,
2001. Yeah. And you know, there's it's what's interesting about it, when I started out. There was no real legitimization, if that's a word I can use, around using alpha levels and left and right brains and stuff like that. Although it was there, the universities hadn't really dived in. And then along comes mindfulness, and suddenly there's an explosion. So everything I was talking about back then is now legitimized. You know, it's like, well, that's right. You know, you can. And so there's a left and right brain approach to that as well, and that's fine. But the funny thing is, people still, funnily enough, are embarrassed, or something happens that holds them back from sharing with family and friends and colleagues and stuff like that, for fear possibly of, I don't know, ridicule or people thinking something.
I think it is that. And I think you're, again, back to basic mind store is about sabotaging, you know, things that you do good, you know, you do well with.
Yeah.
You know, I now blatantly say, how do I, you know, you Rob, you look good, what do you do? Well, so I've got this certain way of eating.
Yeah.
I meditate and I do yoga, you know. So
fantastic.
That's how that's how. And then people don't really bat an eye now. Whereas I used to be thought of, if I mention it to even close friends, you know, the lads down the pub, and they think Rob's gone mad, or you know, or he's becoming a member of a cult.
And even just this week, I was in front of an audience of people involved in car sales, and I had all the salespeople there, and the management there, and the support staff, but they also gave the opportunity. Originally, I was going to help the salespeople, but the guy who brought me in, good Mindstore guy, he wanted to offer it to everybody, and so. The workshop guys and the body shop guys and they used to call mechanics and stuff, the engineers and stuff, they were all in there too. And you're right, people are now far more open to it. So why on earth people who have these skills and abilities don't share them? I don't know, because people will actually be able to hear it now.
That's right.
Much easier than it was a way back then. And the other, so we people that kind of a passion for this, because we know that if we can find a way of articulating it, you clearly have, then people are more interested. Oh, so what's that about? How can I do that? And funnily enough, you go back, you know, when I started 25, 30 years ago in that window, you know, a guy in the west of Scotland, you know, I grew up, you know, in Glasgow and stuff, moving around in Glasgow, to say, look, I practice yoga, I meditate, and I have a strange diet.
Yeah.
People would just think you were a nut job, you know, a crazy, to use the language they used back then.
Yeah.
But now, as I say, it's mainstream. And you know, I, you know, going into courses now, and people know I've always taken the lunchtime thing, like, would you like to know what else I'm doing type approach, and people would come back and maybe talk about the cancer clinic in Stuttgart and share stuff. And now, as you know, because you came there, I'm very, very passionate about the whole ketogenic thing, primarily because of all the wonderful benefits. And, you know, the thing I noticed when you came into the course, and it was good to see you again because I remembered you, the fact that you had put on a fair amount of weight in the very places where men of, you know, the 50s and above, or even 40s for that matter, really don't want to be gathering the weight there. We know that now. And funnily enough, if you've got it there, unless you're changing things, that's just going to increase. It's just going to get bigger and bigger over time, and then comes all the challenges of inflammation and so on.
Oh, that's right.
And so you were able to hear my little session on the keto thing, weren't you? And so can you tell maybe the people where that took you? Because not only in terms of you know, obviously you have lost weight. We posted something on Facebook the other day and you look amazing. But it's all the other, I mean, I know when I'm sharing it, I'm looking at the audience and they're kind of, you know, you can see them sort of saying, well, I don't know if I fancy this or whatever. I know that if they would just do it, it would massively change their life. Just like I know if an audience would just do Mindstore, it would massively change their life. I know it, but they don't know it yet. And then there you were, you're listening to me, and it has changed things, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Take a month before Mindstore. My sister-in-law lives in Dublin, actually, but her in-laws are from County Mayo. Her brother-in-law suddenly passed away just overnight at 49.
Wow.
And that was the big, oh my God, what am I going to do? So immediately my 16-year-old goes to the gym. So I said, look, I'm going to go to the gym. And then the first thing you go see in the gym, never done it for years, you put your feet on the scales.
Yeah.
I had one big shock.
Yeah.
I was sort of over 19 stone and I was 19 stone when I came to Dublin.
Yeah.
So bit of a home truths, and it was, you know, brought it down to earth. I'm 50. I was the same build as this guy. It finds out it was sort of cardiovascular.
Yeah.
And I was having chronic nosebleeds every other day.
Wow.
Other parts of my body were bleeding. I don't go into that.
No, it's okay.
And it was all about inflammation. My skin was awful.
Yeah.
I was sluggish and then things.
Yeah.
And then come, thank God for Sean, come March the 10th, it's in my head that we did the first morning session, and then you just mentioned, oh, come and have a chat, because people were saying to you, Jack, you look brilliant and everything like that. So come and have a chat and what you do. And we discussed it slightly over dinner the night before, but we had the talk, and then I thought, yeah, I can do this. And you gave go and listen to these podcasts, read these books.
Yeah.
You know, if you're unsure, there's a lot of information out there and positive groups on Facebook, a UK one, a US one, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started it, and then I remember my last pint of Guinness was on that night. My in-laws were out of Dublin, so I was on my own in their place. So I went for a burger, but I started, right, I won't eat the bread with this,
good man.
But I will have my last pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
Did that. Haven't drunk any beer since.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I do drink and stuff like that afterwards.
Yeah.
And then within, I don't know, 2 weeks, I'd lost half a stone.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of that would be fluids, you know, detoxifying things like that. But it's just gradually, it's not like these one-hit wonders that'll, you know, you lose 8 stone in a week, that type of thing.
No,
just gone healthily off.
Yeah.
Gradually. And people think, oh, you know, the fat adapted, ketogenic diet, oh, it's hard work and things like that. I found it a doddle.
Yeah.
Because it's a doddle, I cook anyway.
Yeah.
I create food that I used to like, but I've created it with, you know, moderate protein, hardly any carbohydrates, and a lot of good fat.
Yeah.
And that's what's doing. Because, as you know, again, back to the old Mind Store, when people are trying to sell us milkshakes that'll make you go thin, and you end up spending £100 a month on these things, and they, you know, they may last for 6 months, and then you're back on the burgers and the pints are bitter and heavy and things like that. But the benefits I've had, again, vitality, no brain fog, which is a big plus.
Yeah.
Because it controls insulin and inflammation.
Yeah.
It's the first time since I was 9 this year that I never got hay fever.
Wow, there you go.
Which is, you know, and to an extent, like I'm tying it in with, you know, keeping my body fit as well. So I am going to the gym. You know, anybody can go for a walk, you know, walk the dog, anything, just to get your heart rate up a bit. But I enjoy the gym because, one, I can listen to all these great podcasts by people like Jimmy Moore and Two Keto Dudes and things like that, Carrie Brown on cooking. Yeah. And it's just opened a, you know, an hour a day listening to these great inspirational people.
Yeah.
And then people, when people say, you know, well, you're eating too much fat, that's obviously bad for you and your cholesterol, I can come back with them. Well, actually, if you do the research and things like and then, but I do, again, it's me self-sabotaging, have to hold myself back sometimes. So I'm so enthusiastic when I think, a bit like you obviously saw me in March saying, Rob could do, is carrying a little bit of extra pounds there. Yeah. Can you, you know, what do you do? I'm trying to subtly do it to friends who may have had high blood pressure. Yeah. My blood pressure now, my nosebleeds have stopped.
Yeah.
I've got the blood pressure of a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I haven't checked my bloods. Don't do that.
I'm
not too over sensitive on measuring things, so I do it more. And I call it intuitive ketogenics.
Well, that's what I do as well. We're both in the same book there.
Once you know you're full, you're full, and you once you know that's got fat in and that's got a bit of protein.
Yeah.
And but I don't beat myself up if I've had there are carbs. I enjoy a drink of wine now.
Yep.
I can drink champagne, double fermented.
Yeah, of course.
I like a drop of bourbon every now and then. So
all fits into the keto thing.
Yeah. So my latest recipe, because I'm on it, converting everything to recipes, I've created a syrup made out of xylitol, of all things, and lemon zest, which I can add to a margarita. Because my favourite cocktail is a margarita, so I've made a keto margarita now. So watch this space for the video.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I think one of the things though is, you know, if when I see watched you walking in, let's say to Dublin, we've spent the night before with the meal with the classic Dublin group having their meal the night before, and you were there, which was great. But nevertheless, you know, to actually see you walking into the room and seeing how big you were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been one who's, you know, I love my mum to bits and love my sister and the girlfriends I've had over the years and then my wife and stuff. I'm a great woman's, you know, I totally believe in women being empowered, you know, it makes sense. Yeah. But I'm equally concerned about men in the older groups, you know, get over 45 and stuff, and they're not, they've got this thing happening and they can't outrun a poor diet. This is the thing that I'm really, really, really passionate about. Mm. And so you see something, and what Andy would have done, he said, look, you need to get exercise. You need to go on, you need to stop eating. You need to do low fat. You need some whole grains in your system. And said all that usual nonsense. And what would have happened is you would have gone in the gym and you'd have changed your diet back to this so-called stuff we should be doing for 30 years now. And everybody knows it's never worked because you'll soon get fed up with it. You'll soon, you know, really want that burger again or whatever it is and the pints of Guinness. And you know, everybody knows it, you put the weight on just as faster than you lost it.
Oh, you will. You're
climbing again.
Whatever it does in your body, it'll just kick in. And
yeah. And so here I am and you are, and people may be listening. We've got this awareness that actually, if you just would trust this, and it wouldn't take you long, you'll never go back to that stuff. You won't have it. That whatever was in your brain that was turning on, let's have another burger, let's have another pint of Guinness or whatever it would be, that's all turned off. And so you don't have the desires for the things. And you're right, you can replace everything you used to love with a ketogenic version, even margaritas now.
Yeah. And sausage rolls.
And sausage rolls, which we'll come to. We need to hear about that. But the thing is that this is not just letting people lose weight, especially I'm really concerned for the men and women, but the men especially, because they know that standard way of dealing with it hasn't worked in the past, so it's not going to work now. And there's all sorts of fears about, you know, getting onto a diet or whatever it is and, you know, wanting things.
That's always
been hungry, whereas you know, and everybody else who's done keto knows, you're just no longer hungry for anything. But what's wonderful is all the other health markers because of the inflammation going away. And think about it, and people listening, if ever there was a summer that hay fever would have been ripe,
and rife,
it was that summer. And here you are, since you were 9 years old, first time not having it, because all inflammation in the body is dissipated by this.
Yeah, because I think that, is it rhinitis or something like that, which is translated as some sort of inflammation in the, you know, and any allergies and, as I say, other parts of the body that can get inflamed and not, which is a revelation, you know. And now I'm a guy, again, bad diet in past years. I had to have my gallbladder removed in the early 2000s because I couldn't, basically, I ate fat and I ate steaks and carbs and everything, just couldn't digest, and it formed, obviously, gallstones and things like that. So, but anybody who's got, hasn't got a gallbladder, don't worry about this, because your pancreas and your liver sorts everything out with this the ketogenic way.
Yeah, and I mean, without going on too much about keto, but I think the toughest bit for most people, I mean, people can maybe get the low carb thing. I mean, that kind of makes sense, you know, and you see even in TV now in some of the mainstream media, people talking about low carb, which is good. But low carb on its own isn't what it's about, because people will then have increased protein, which will be turned into sugar anyway if they're overeating it. But it's the toughest bit is this bit about actually the biggest part of your diet's fat.
It's the stigma, isn't it?
It's so hard to... People fear it. They're terrified of it because we've been so programmed to believe that fat was bad for, especially in the heart area, the heart disease, the arteries and all that stuff. Where I'm at with it now is, because I've been doing it for, you know, over a year and a half now, is I'm so tuned to it that I was in Holly a couple of weeks back there, and, you know, you're on holiday, so I succumbed a little bit, had ice cream, did some other thing. Mostly kept keto, but occasionally I would drift off and maybe have a sweet in the evening with the meal. Now, what was interesting was that not immediately, but 2 or 3 days later, inflammation would appear in my body.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like unbelievable. And so then all I knew I had to do was, well, if I eat a lump of cheese now, if I go and get some steak and I make sure there's a lot of fat on it, if I take some cream on top of a coffee, which occasionally I, you know, have now, then immediately, and I mean immediately, you know, within a few hours, it's just the inflammation's gone again.
Oh, yeah, and don't know, although we went to the States for 3 weeks, and I've lost 6 pounds on holiday doing this.
Who's ever done that before?
Just by cutting out the, because they're famous for steaks, aren't they, America, and burgers. Yeah. Just cut out things, and I must admit, I stole a few chips from the boys.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, red wine, drunk a lot of water, like you normally do, but no inflammation, but... You'll find anybody who does want to come over to this way of eating, there's the famous thing called a bulletproof coffee.
Yes.
And that kicks me back into ketosis every morning.
Yeah.
And basically, listeners, you may find this disgusting, but it's the most beautiful drink ever. It's a black coffee with a blob of real butter.
Yeah.
All grass-fed. The Americans say grass-fed butter, but... Most and all the butter in the UK and Ireland is grass-fed anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
A blob of butter, and I get this thing for online called MCTL, which is medium chain triglyceride oil, which just helps all the cells react to using your body to burn fat rather than sugar.
Yeah.
And then I do top it with double cream now and then, but I'm a black coffee guy anyway, so I'll have the butter use it as a creamer, really. And without fail, every morning I have one, and you feel great.
But back to Mindstore then. One of the things I've noticed is that I also found with the keto thing, was that I get rid of a lot of brain fog.
Sure.
And
I
get rid of a lot of kind of lethargy, for want of a better word. Sometimes I'd have my to-do list and I would think, you know, let's just finish early. It's Friday, you know, and I would leave a big lump of a thing that needs done. because I was becoming, you know, brain fogged, you know, the clarity wasn't there. It was, and but what I found is that because of the keto thing and programming, it's going to an entirely different level. Have you noticed that?
I'm finding exactly the same thing. Whereas I must admit, in Dublin, because I obviously wasn't that fit and overweight and things, I was nodding off in Alpha. Yes. I was going straight to whatever it is, Delta, B, whatever. And now I can come out of it and be refreshed. Whereas because you get lethargic and you get foggy, you just start proper dreaming rather than in the daydream state.
Yeah.
So, you know, you wake yourself up with a snore and you're quite embarrassed with the other members. Has anybody else done that? But you're right. And clarity of thought is amazing. And I'm a little bit more articulate. Just in the way I do, I'm a waffling type of guy. I get quite excited. But more clarity in how I talk and getting things to the point and getting things done. Is the main thing.
Yeah.
Getting things done so I can do something great afterwards, you know, so.
And you'll notice, of course, mindset people anyway, because of the we're doing the practicing the meditation, we're dissipating stress anyway, but there's just this other added advantage with this, and much more energy, much more sustained energy, and the longevity of it as well into the day and evening, yeah?
You know, yeah, exactly. And I'm programming anything from meetings to what I'm going to eat and to what I'm going to do in the gym or who I'm going to listen to or who I'm going to talk to in the gym while I'm doing some cross training. I don't know if this is a mind store thing, but I do tend to trance out when I'm exercising as well. And I think of challenges and whatever, and I sort them out while I'm listening to a podcast and things like that. So it's
just a final
with the tip of the tongue, I can switch it straight on, you know.
Exactly,
so.
It's awesome. So, just to fade out of this part of it, a few things more just to help people maybe see the advantages of it is that presumably you're finding too that it's easier to exercise than it was a way back in the past.
Oh, yeah. And again, inflammation thing.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm programming what I'm going to do every night.
Yeah.
I have a couple of days off. I'm sure everybody does of Mind Store. But I'll stick the headphones on and I'll go in. I'll listen in to some calming music if just to help me get into the state if I need to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a quiet room. But it's programmed to get healthy.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to hark on about the diet or the way of eating, but again about having that enthusiasm to eat the right things to exercise and do this.
Yeah.
And to a point, myself and Sian, my wife, we're doing a half marathon next April.
There you go.
So we're training for that. I've only run 10K, but I've already programmed the training.
Super. Well, the other thing is, I mean, as I said already, I just want people to come to this side of this river, as it were, and realise look how much better it is over here.
And it gets better all the time.
Exactly.
To a point where I had a great email the other day, Jack.
Yeah.
Somebody with your same name as you invited me to a new course, of all things.
Right.
In Dublin. Tell me about that.
Yes. Inevitably, things move on. And you know, I'd reached a point where we were, like a lot of companies in this field, everybody's bombarded with stuff. And it's getting more and more challenging to put bums in seats, to be honest. And I no longer had the big machine. I don't want to go back to big staff marketing stuff for me. We let all that go with natural wastage and people moving on, because inevitably you use Mind Store, you want to do better things with your life than do the job you were currently doing. And that was great. So eventually, you know, but more recently, you know, I was kind of thinking like maybe I was really enjoying doing the one-to-one coaching and Skype and still doing the business stuff and turning up to do public courses. I still enjoy doing it, but I wasn't so keen on, you know, getting the bums in seats side of it. Yeah. And I kind of resolved it. Maybe that Dublin course you did would be the last one. But out of the blue, I mean, I still had promised the Glasgow people I would come back in November and do one thing. Didn't know what it was going to be, but it would be something new. But out of the blue, the ex-CEO of Mind Store, when we were a big, big team and I was growing it and we were filling the concert hall in Glasgow and stuff like that, He had left to go to Canada, and long story, he came back out of the blue shortly after Dublin and got in touch and had, you know, explained where he was at and his life, and it was really inspiring. And he had gone on all that time, so we're talking about 15, maybe nearly 20 years of time, 15 years certainly, maybe 18 years, he'd continued to work on something him and I were developing a way back when he worked with me. And he'd taken it way, way, way ahead of itself and had actually used it to make huge profits for a big corporation in Canada. And when he said, I want to give it back to you, because if it wasn't for you and all that, it wouldn't have happened. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, let's have a look at this. And so he came over, we spent two weeks doing some due diligence and running it and testing it out with some people, and I was just amazed at what it could do. And so to the point where him and I formed a business now, and the obvious thing was, well, look, why don't we take some of it and I'll come up with stuff that we'd work with it specifically for an audience in Glasgow. And so I got in touch with the Glasgow group and said, look, I'm still going to do this thing in November. I think they're doing this. And what do you think? What would you want us to cover? And do you think we could do 2 days, for example, and one day? And they said, yeah, go for the 2 days, which I hadn't done for many, many moons. And so Phil Holmes, he's coming over for a few weeks. We're going to do Glasgow, we're going to do London and Dublin.
And yeah, I've already booked Dublin.
Good man, yeah. Good man. And so what we're going to do is we're going to use a little bit of the icing on this massive cake that he's created, and I'm beginning to throw my weight into now as well. And so we were going to come in and go through a process where he's more of the left brain, highly creative guy, but more of a left brain kind of character. He's amazing insights about understanding the complexity of life. For all sorts of reasons, his personal history and so on drives him. So what will happen is there's 8 sessions over the 2 days. So the first one will be an introduction to him, to me, to newcomers, you know. But then gradually what we'll do is we'll do the 7 thing. 7's a big number, so there's 7 sessions left. He'll do half of it and I'll do half of it. My half will be new guided imagery, very, very profound, deep, deep imagery where you start to have a much more of that dialogue, so we're not quite back to the same thing of the group, you know, out there in the line in the sand, but much more profound and more advanced level of that, shall we say, allied to what Phil's going to be unfolding in terms of accessing critical parts of people's lives. So you're going to be able to get a real hold of the things that really, really need to change and how to change them. And how to do that from at 2 levels, within the left and the right brain thing. So we're very excited. I'm really excited about it.
Well, so am I.
So you can, somebody can look forward to that. But so thanks for asking about that. I appreciate that. I really do. Because, we need to find ways of getting out there so that people don't miss this one.
I was so enthused at the whispers. Yeah. And when you said, oh, this is going to be my last one, my heart dropped a little.
Yeah.
And then, but you did say you'd be doing things online and
definitely. Yeah.
And obviously the one-to-one that you do with business people and things like that, it's obviously carrying on. But when this was announced, I thought, wow. And then I've made friends with the Dublin crowd, although
I see that,
on the Welsh side, yes, you know, and then it's sort of coming back to me now that thinking that there must be still some northwest of England and North Wales people that must be wanting to start a like-minded group up again concentration specifically on the Mind Store with no other agenda.
Yes.
I'd love to, you know, and I spoke to David and he said, Rob, if you want to do it, you know, run it by Jack and I'll be happy to come, but he's got a few other challenges to do.
Yeah, he's got his
eyes. I said, come sort of, you know, November, December, or think of starting a meetup group or whatever the term is now.
No, so, that'd be good. And I'll help you with that. I'd be get, you know, there are people out there who would love to get connected again. This thing that Phil and I are doing, I'm actually changing all direction to focus on this because we've got a powerful, you know, corporate level version of it. We've got a small, medium-sized enterprise version. We've got a one-man and a women band type business version. But more importantly, we do have a public version, and it will be coming out laterally at the start of the corporate thing. so we can get that started, get credibility okay. with it. But the, but my dream with it is to give it to every child in the planet. And the way we're going to do that is through 6 degrees of separation, because I know enough people who are, were, and Phil's coming over to meet some of them with me in a few weeks' time when those courses are going on, to let them see the corporate side of this. And I know that, you know, 6 degrees of separation gets me to Zuckerberg or whoever else is at that level, Bozo, yeah. whatever his name is. And these guys, when they see this, and we could, you know, give it to them to give to the world. And so that every child, the child in Botswana has it, you know, and if they don't have a mobile phone, then they give them one, you know.
Yes.
That's my dream. Yeah. But anyway, we can move on. So one, just briefly going back to this change of our beings on this side of this river, you know, we've got the keto thing going, we've got our programming going, yep. we're doing our stretching, shall we say, you know,
yeah, yoga, sure.
Every way you're doing it. One of the things, again, is for people is the fear of the fat thing, which I've covered. But the other thing would be just missing out on those food things you love. And one of the things I noticed about a post in your, recently on social media was your passion for your sausage roll.
Oh, yeah.
And sausage rolls and pasties and stuff like that are things that, you know, a lot of us would miss.
Especially when I used to be on the road and as a salesperson.
Yeah.
You'd pick up a sandwich. Cornish pasty, a bottle of fizzy,
all that
sugar-filled drink. Even diet drinks, we know with the sweetness, are not that too healthy for
not
you
at all,
for people.
No. So tell me about that.
And then it'll be a bar of chocolate or a brownie
Exactly. But tell me about. I mean, let's all just think about this. Imagine you could have a really seriously healthy. Would change your lifestyle if you had a. Had a sausage roll. Tell us about that sausage roll, how that works, how we can maybe all make one.
All right. Well, I just found a recipe that I thought I can adapt to this.
Yeah.
And with the ketogenics, it's high fat, moderate protein, low carb.
Yeah.
So the pastry is what in the sort of keto world is called fathead pastry of
That's
all
it.
Things.
Yeah.
And it's just made with cheese, mozzarella cheese, cream cheese, some whole grain mustard, and some almond flour.
Yep.
And an egg.
Wow.
And you just melt that down in a saucepan, and it creates like a sticky batter.
Yep.
Put it on a greaseproof paper, put another sheet of greaseproof paper down, and then just flatten it out, roll it a bit, so you've got a big pan. In the meantime, you've got some gluten-free, which again, I didn't realise I'm now gluten-free, didn't realise that I'm gluten-free with the diet and everything.
Yep.
Sausages. Yep. I hate to bring brands up, but there's some great ones in supermarket called Heck.
Yeah,
and they're sustainable.
Yeah.
And they're 95% meat.
Nice.
They're gluten-free. There's no these fillers with wheat or anything in them.
Yeah.
They're sort of part cooked for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Now you put the sausages on the rolled out sheet of pastry.
Yeah.
You cut it 3 times.
Yeah.
And then you roll it up as you would a sausage roll on the thing. Stick in the oven for 20 minutes, and then you've got some sausage rolls. Can you see me, by the way, Jack?
No, I'm not seeing you, no. But
if not, I brought some for my lunch. I made some last night. So, yeah.
Well,
so,
I'm sure everyone.
And again, you know, my wife, she's eating what I'm eating.
She's pretty
healthy anyway. But she's adapted this diet. And my eldest dips in and out now, and he can see the benefits because his dad's getting healthier.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, at the end of the day, it's not really for me; it's for them. You know, I want to be a dad, or you know, I want to be around for long time. But the fact that I've got these sausage rolls and I can dip them into whole grain mustard, I can sneakily put some brown sauce, although it's got sugar in, but it's only a little bit just to flavour it. And then with avocados and bacon are my world at the moment.
Yep.
So, you know, things like that. We had a fry up last night for dinner, a proper fry up.
Yeah.
And we made 90, I'm going to give you another tip, 90 second keto bread.
Yeah, lovely.
Which is two tablespoons of almond flour.
Yeah.
An egg. Little bit of half a teaspoon of gluten-free baking powder and 2 tablespoons of melted butter.
Yeah.
Whisk them up, stick them in a little plastic sandwich tray, microwave for 90 seconds, and then you've got what looks and tastes most like bread. Toast it, We have mashed avocado, poached egg, bacon, loads of salad, and I couldn't finish mine.
Well, that's exactly a breakfast I often have, particularly on Saturday. The exact same bread, the exact same fillings. But okay, you and I were going on about this, but the thing is, I mean, I now know we're going to drive down to Brighton tomorrow, spend the day there with the dog, and I'll walk, and Laura's going to be doing some stuff, and I think what I'll do now is, apart from having a boiled egg for the journey, I think I'll make some of these sausage rolls. Yeah. And we'll have the sausage rolls as well. How wonderful is that? So anyway, Rob, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing. Anything else you would like to leave the listeners with in terms of Mindstore or whatever?
Yeah, only obviously, please come if you can make it to the new Evolution course in November. I will see everybody in Dublin. And in the meantime, some light reading for you. If anybody wants to embrace this, I'm going to set up a Facebook page on whatever, what I'm doing anyway. Yeah. But there's people like Jimmy Moore, who does a book called Keto Clarity. Yeah. There's a Dr. Perlmutter, which is the Grain Brain book. Gary Taubes, Why Eat Fat. Yeah. And then there's a great one called Wheat Belly by William Davis. Yeah. And the podcasts relate to that. The Living La Vida Low Carb, which is Jimmy Moore, and the Two Keto Dudes, which is hilarious, and Don't Believe What You Read in the Press About This Diet. It's as a very recent American president would say, it's fake science.
Yes. and one other book to add is Will Coles, who does Keto Talk with Jimmy Moore,
that's
who you've mentioned.
That's another book on my nightstand at the moment, your recommendation.
Yeah, he's just brought out the definitive book on how people who are vegetarians and vegans can get into keto as well now, so they don't have to worry about eating meat. So God bless them. And well done. Anyway, thanks for spending the time with me this morning. I really, really appreciate it, Rob.
Well,
and I'm sure folks can pick up your enthusiasm. And the Mindstore people have all been there. What we've done is added another way of fueling the brain to make it even more powerful. So thanks for your contribution and all the best.
Thank you, Jack.
Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye.